In the social media world of selfies, likes, and shares, NBL is your lifeline for real talk about real stuff.
Real stuff like coping with obstacles that we can't overcome in our own strength and usually try to for a really long time until we eventually admit that it won't work and then we ask for help. Why does it take so long? I'm not sure, but it's why we're talking about the 12 steps with Lisa Kretz-Thomas and Kathy Gray. And when we first discussed this, it really seemed to make sense for one practical reason, that every year people make, you know, New Year's resolutions to live differently, to be different. And even if you didn't express them to somebody else, you know that in your mind, whether it's the new year or not, at various times you've said, this thing that I've got going on, I got to stop this. Something's got to change. You know, something's got me in its grip, and I'm going to try harder. I'm going to do more. I got to find an end to this problem in my life somehow or another. I can do this if I really set my mind to it. And over and over and over again, you promise yourself, and here it is, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years later, and you're still struggling with whatever it is. So there needs to come a time when we say, enough is enough. God, I need help. And it's interesting because that plays right into step number three today. Make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Coming to a place of saying, God, you're in charge. You're it. And you can call the shots. So let me welcome back Lisa Kretz-Thomas and Kathy Gray, co-authors of the book Light in Our Darkness, and close personal friends, but they live really far away from each other. Ladies, good to have you back. I can't believe it's Monday already. Wow.
So glad to be back, Neil. And I know the week just goes by so fast, but I get so excited when Monday morning comes because I know that we get to have this awesome opportunity to talk about the Lord and how he can change us and just inspire us to live the life that he created for us.
Yeah, I love it. And Kathy, I don't know how you feel, but I get excited just like Lisa on Mondays. And I'm glad Zach decided it should be Mondays because sometimes they can be a little depressing. Oh, yeah, it's Monday. Here we go. Brand new week. But I'm actually thrilled about what God's been doing and thrilled when Monday rolls around for the same reasons. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And hi, Neil.
Hi.
I look forward to Mondays. And it's a great way to start off the week because we start off with solution. We start off with amazing testimonies of how the Lord has changed our lives. And I think it's just a really fruitful, profitable way to start off Mondays.
Amen.
So I'm excited to be here.
Amen. I am too. And I hope our listeners are. And I've been getting some more and more feedback. I was out the other day and got stopped by someone. Hey, I've been listening to the 12-step series that you guys are doing. That's really good.
Cool.
Loving the traction that we're getting here. And I hope if you're listening and have yet to participate, that you'll not hesitate when the moment comes when God really is speaking to your heart, that you'll pick up the phone and be a part of this conversation, particularly if you're facing some obstacle that you haven't been able to overcome, and so you have personal experience with this, or you've been ministered to in some fashion through 12-step ministry somewhere at some time, and both of these ladies have more than two decades of experience with 12-step ministries for a variety of different reasons, which they can discuss on their own, but it's why we've invited them in to say, look, let's just talk openly and honestly about how God can use this and the truth of his word and how these principles are rooted in his word to help us find freedom. But let me give Lisa a chance here for a second, if you don't mind, to kind of say all that using your own words, because you were instrumental in helping us to come to a decision to do this in the first place, and then said, and I think my friend Kathy would join us. And it's turned out wonderfully well, but you have a desire in your heart, too, for what you want to see God do in the lives of all of us, including those who are listening. So just share that for 1 second before we continue.
Well, here's the thing, you know, in the work that God has allowed me to do and the people I've been allowed to meet, whether that's in prisons or at fundraising events for, you know, pregnancy centers, whether it's in recovery centers, the running theme is that I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I need a real relationship with God. I want an authentic relationship with God. And I mean, it's troubling because we have so many things that come into our life that block that. And so through the years, this has been a running theme. And so for me, all I can do is share what God's done in my life and my experience, strength, and hope. And what the 12 steps have done for me is it has connected me in a personal, intimate way with God without letting my past control my now or my future. And when you've come from a place of addiction, I mean, I was addicted to crack, to alcohol, to sex. I was living on the streets. I've been incarcerated. You know, I've been in psych wards. When you go through all that and you find peace and you see other people that are struggling in any way, you want them to have the peace and the joy and the freedom that God has given you. And you want to be able to share those things. So that is the, that was one of the biggest tugs on my heart from the Lord. It's like, you know, you didn't go through this to keep it all for yourself, girlfriend. You need to share this so other people can get free.
Yeah. And Kathy, let me throw it your way too, but I don't mean to throw you off with this statement, but it occurs to me that, you know, Lisa's not kidding. She actually did go to jail. We love her anyway, but she did, right? But Kathy, you were in a different kind of prison. We've all been in a prison of our own making, really. And yours revolved around things like codependency and stuff. But your life was greatly impacted by others who struggled with addictions and stuff. So you've got your own take on this. But for many of the same reasons, you're looking for the same kind of freedom that Lisa has looked for.
Absolutely. I love how you put that, Neil, that I was in my own kind of prison. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had these really awakening kind of thoughts, like I'm stuck in this body with my thoughts for the rest of my life until I meet Jesus, and I am the only person who can feed this soul, deal with the thoughts that are in my head. No one else can do that for me. And then at the same time, I can't really do that myself. So, you know, I was stuck in that prison with my thoughts, with my dreads, my comparison, my perfectionism, my trying harder, giving up, trying harder, giving up. And it was when the Lord used a variety of things in my life to bring healing and sanity, but it was when I came in the rooms of 12-step that I started understanding that I was really addicted. I was addicted to worry. I was addicted to other people's lives and the choices they were making. I was addicted. I was obsessed with whether my life was going to turn out okay. And, you know, it's just exactly opposite of what Jesus came to give us. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough cares of its own. So, yeah, I was in a prison, absolutely, just not in the physical lockup that Lisa found herself in.
Yeah. Well, and again, and I'm not just trying to paint this with a broad brushstroke, but if we're all honest with ourselves, there is a place in our life, or there have been many places in our lives, where we've stumbled and we've been up against something that was bigger than us and thought for a while that we'll just wrestle this thing and try to overcome it in our own strength and failed miserably. And some of us listening right now to this conversation are in that kind of a place, whatever it happens to be. And I know, I think I said in one of the previous conversations we had, for me, it's almost like squeezing a water balloon, that at various times in my life, something would pop up, you know, and kind of try to deal with that. And maybe come to a place of full surrender, only to have something else pop out. And down deep, I was like, Lord, would you just heal me once and for all? Well, I wish you would have, but it has been happening in a progressive way. You know, sometimes God can just speak the word and boom, we're better. But other times, it takes time, and it takes walking with him and learning from him and continually surrendering. So that's kind of been more of my story. And I love the conversation that we've been having for the last few weeks, because it's so life-giving. And that's my prayer for those who are listening, that whatever you're faced with today, you'll not be afraid to come and talk about it, and to be honest about it, and to let Jesus meet us in this place. But let me just pray before we dig in here. Lord, I thank you for Lisa and for Kathy, for their lives and for their transparency and vulnerability and willingness to talk openly and honestly about stuff that they have dealt with. Thank you that they're willing to spend time each Monday for all of these weeks till we get through the 12 steps to really let you be God over these things and to foster conversation in the lives for the sake of those who are struggling in their lives right now with all of these obstacles. It could be substance abuse. It might be sexual addiction, gambling addiction, some kind of drug or alcohol-related thing. It might be approval and perfectionism. Lord, we don't even want to start labeling things because we'd we'd surely run out of ideas about how many labels are needed to describe the problems that are going on in all of our lives. But you're bigger than all of it. And so in Jesus' name, we just ask you, Lord, to recognize that we don't have to wrestle anymore because you're victorious. You defeated the power of death, hell, and the grave at Calvary, and we can walk in freedom when we learn to walk with you. So God, help us understand through our conversation and through the way that you point us to your word what it means to truly be free, and help us to arrive in that place for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so in a moment, we'll take a break here. We'll be back. But step three, I've said what it is a couple of times, but Lisa, you're the official person who describes the step each week. So we're going to be talking about step three. It says what?
Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
All right, a lot to unpack there, right? So we'll be back in just a moment with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray. They're authors of a book called Light in Our Darkness. We're actually going to be giving away a copy of that book during our conversation today, so feel free to join us. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Stuck in traffic? NBL is heard on WDCX FM 99.5 and two other radio stations that reach Southern Ontario. Just for fun, switch over for a second and see if you can pick us up on AM 970 or AM 990. Oh, go ahead. The car ahead of you isn't going anywhere.
Just want to mention, I was looking at a map today to check out where Barrie, Ontario is in relation to Toronto. Of course, it's quite a bit north. And then I was looking for where Algonquin Park is, and it's way north. Well, I went to Algonquin Park about 3 years ago, and I mean, it's like 3 hours north of Toronto. I'm not sure if I'm entirely accurate on that, or maybe it's 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Could have been four for all I know. It was a long trip, and we were still listening to AM 970. So if you're ever struggling picking up our FM signal, for fun, just check out AM 970, particularly in areas east of Toronto. Check out AM 990 out of Rochester. You should be able to pick up one of the two. Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray are our guests. We're going to dig in today to step three of the 12 steps and look at a biblical basis for where all this comes from. So I don't know how we want to begin, but typically it's Lisa that digs in. So I'm just for fun going to throw it to Kathy. Just see what you got here on step three.
You know, step one, two, and three can be summarized with step one is I can't. Step two is God can. Step three is I'll let him.
Right.
And this is the first step where we actually make a decision. We make a decision that we're going to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That's what the step says. Now, how do we turn our will and our lives over to the care of God? That comes with step 4 through 12. But we have to make the decision to do it. So it's not actually an action step except for the conversation we have with God and usually a mentor or a sponsor, but it's that place where we're like, okay, I'm in, and I'm going to do the work necessary, and they promise me by step 9 that I'm going to have had a spiritual awakening in my life. I don't feel it right now, but I'm committing myself to working through the rest of the steps. And, you know, Neil, when I came in to Al-Anon, I really had tried to work a spiritual program in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just failed miserably. And when I got to step three, to turning my will over, my will and my life over to the care of God, I felt, I got to be honest, I felt really ashamed that I wasn't able to do this before this time. And but I'm telling you, going through the steps and just taking that place of humility and being willing to do the work, that shame just goes away. And it's nothing short of a miracle.
That's incredible the way you describe that. And Lisa, I'll give you a chance to speak here, but let me just say that one picture that comes to mind is the prodigal. We hear the story of the prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point he's going like, you know, this is not good. And I'd probably be better off back at my dad's place, you know, even if I was a hired servant, that, you know, maybe that's what I'll do. But I'm sick and tired of eating this pig slop and living the way that I'm living. This is not working for me. And all of those are just thoughts until he says, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. And he actually stood up and he turned around. Even if he hadn't taken a step yet, he was in the process of getting his will involved. It goes beyond just the mental aspects, I guess. And am I off base on that, Lisa, in terms of the fact that there's some will involved here?
No, not at all. And now for me, I will say that the action for me was making the decision. So, here's the thing. I couldn't understand why my life was so difficult. You know, somebody was always on my case. Somebody was always mad at me. I had a huge problem with anger. I mean, I was upset and angry at everybody. And I always felt like I didn't belong anywhere. Anger and escape had become basically my way of life. And that's how I covered up how I felt about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the deal is this, is that everyone has a life or death decision to make. We all do, all the time, every day. We were all created with the supreme privilege of free will, the ability to choose. So even in the midst of our addiction, we have the ability to choose. And what this step is unlocking the door. This is unlocking the door. How, in our circumstances, do we let God into our life? How could I possibly let God into my life? And the literature in the 12-step program rests upon how well and how earnestly we try to come to the decision of turning our life over to God. I knew there was a God. No mistake in that, because trust me, when the cops were chasing me, or if somebody was chasing me down, or I knew I was in a bad situation, I was the queen of foxhole prayers. Oh, God, save me. Oh, God, please help me. Help me, help me, help me. So I knew he was there, but I wasn't ready to surrender my will. I wanted him to line his will up with my decisions. And if he would just do that, my life would be so much easier. Which we know that couldn't be further from the truth.
Absolutely. All right, so based on what she just said, let me throw back to Kathy for a second, because Lisa, was the worst of all sinners, right? And so she was out there running from the cops. You and I were much better sinners than she was.
Oh, we were so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that's really important.
We were holier sinners than she was. But the point is that's Lisa's story, but we all have done, and again, I don't want to paint with too broad a brushstroke here, but I want everybody to see that what Lisa's talking about is not exclusive to Lisa, that the foxhole prayer she's talking about doesn't just have to be about the cops chasing you down or somebody coming to get even because, they're wanting to know where their next drug payment's going to come from or something crazy like that. It could also be, that somebody has just refused to trust God with their finances or with their children or with, a failing marriage that hasn't failed yet, but it's failing. And God keeps saying, will you just trust me? Will you do it my way? Will you hold your tongue like I've asked you and do it my way? So, I mean, there's a point at which we can say, oh, yeah, I know I need to do this. I know I need to do this. I'm trying to do this. And then just finally say, that's it. I'm going to do it your way, God, right? I mean, it doesn't just apply to the cops. It applies to us in every circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved the things that you ticked off there. My children, I'm worried about my children. I'm obsessed about money. Am I going to be provided for, and the marriage. And, fortunately in my life, marriage has not been the main thing, but I could, Lisa, I remember when we were writing down all of the topics that our book covered, and it was like thing after thing after thing after thing that we both experienced, and I was just like, I'm just so glad I have one thing in my life that has not been the major thing, But anyway, I digress. Neil, I sincerely had tried to turn my will and my life over the care of God. I didn't understand what I was doing wrong. All I knew was that I was depressed, I was filled with anxiety, and I cannot tell you how grateful I was for the revelation of God to the men and women who came up with these particular steps that just clearly lay out the principles of what it looks like in order to turn your will and your life over to the care of God and to live by the principles found in Scripture. I just really needed that, and I am so, so grateful because I had tried so hard.
Yeah, we were down in Florida, I think it was last year about this time, and there was this thing like, it was this, some kind of a zip line ride over crocodiles, all right? So,
holy cow.
Yeah, I don't know. Crocodiles come from like South America, I think. So how they got there, I don't know. But anyway, you do this zip line thing, and I'm not a huge fan of heights anyway, but I did it, and everyone was doing it. And then all of a sudden on the last one, they go, all right, this time when you jump off the platform, just lay out backwards and do like the spread eagle. Don't hold the rope or anything. Just let the harness hold you and just, you know, free fall. Like, and because the zip line's going to catch you, don't worry about it. And I remember jumping off that platform, but I had a hard time letting go of it. I mean, it did maybe for 1 second, and I grabbed it again. I just wasn't a huge fan of the idea of trusting everything to that harness and the, you know, the little piece of metal that was holding me up. And yet, in reality, God is inviting us to get our hands off of our situations and really fully trust Him. So it's easier said than done. But I'm pretty sure that we don't ever really see God's power perfected in weakness until we let Him show Himself strong, right? The invitation, right. He's like, will you just trust me because I can do so much more than you can until you get out of the way. And I don't want to beat that point into the ground, but I just want to emphasize, look, folks, we think we're letting God be God, but we're really not until we totally surrender. And I don't know that we can ever really get better till we get to that place, which is why you have to work through this step, right? I mean, if you're in a 12-step mm-hmm. program, you got to work this mm-hmm. thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. We need to take a break, and I want to throw this open for anybody that's listening, because some of you have been through 12-step programs. Some of you are in one now, or some of you are thinking about the possibility of getting into one. Even so, you don't have to have anything to do with a 12-step program to answer some of these questions we've got. I think they're pretty basic to what it means to be a believer. And so I want to ask you again, it's sort of the overriding questions for the day. Number one, tell us about when you finally realized that you needed to surrender to God's plan and purpose for your life. What did that look like? And it may have been when you first accepted Christ, but it may have been at some other point as well. Like there may have been some other situation going on that you've been wrestling with for years, even as a believer. Tell us about when you finally realized you needed to surrender to God's plan and purpose. Like you'd come to the end and it was going to be Him and Him alone. Or have you been in that place where you realize that you actually have not really surrendered when you actually thought you had? That you keep kind of taking it back. You might be in either place and you're welcome to join us with a comment, but all of you who participate today, we're going to write your phone number down and give away a copy of Light in Our Darkness from Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray to one of you who participates today during our conversation. So just be aware that somebody's going to benefit with a copy of the book from Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000 is our number. And let me just say this too. You may be really like at the end of a situation, not knowing where to turn. And you tuned in today and you're like, I can't believe that they're talking about letting go so God can be in control because this is exactly what I know I need to do in the situation I'm in. Well, you change your name if you want. You don't have to tell us who you are, but we'd love to talk to you about the situation and maybe even spend a few minutes praying with you. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We'll be back with more of NBL in just a moment. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. We're talking about step number three, making a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understood Him.
Beyond all measure. Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number three on how to become an actual NBL participant. Support our advertisers. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing, letting go and trusting when I cannot see. I am counting every blessing, counting every blessing.
We're back at it here on a Monday edition of NBL. Lisa Kratz Thomas and Kathy Gray are with us. We're talking about the 12 steps, particularly step three today. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And we'll continue to dig in and look at the scriptural roots of what that's all about. But I want to get to the phones here real quick. And some of you may want to comment with regard to these questions. Can you tell us about when you finally realized that you needed to surrender to God's plan and purpose for your life, either at the time you gave your life to Christ in the first place or regarding some particular obstacle you were facing in your life? And or number two, did you come to a realization that you actually had not surrendered when you thought you had, which is the realization some of us arrive at along the way as well? Arnie, let me get to you. In Barrie, Ontario, of all places, I just mentioned Barrie. Arnie, good to have you with us.
Hey, you did.
Hi. A comment or a question from you?
Yeah, I'm involved in Celebrate Recovery up in the Barrie area, and I think it wasn't. I struggled with pornography right since I was a teenager when I first was exposed to it, and struggled most of my life. And I was a Christian in my 20s, and I'm in my 50s now. And I mean, the struggle is getting better. But one of the things I found, it wasn't until one of the other guys in our church who had struggled through something similar, who wanted to introduce Celebrate Recovery into our church, which was a large Baptist church at the time. The problem we had to overcome was the stigma of people knowing that you're a sinner. And it's almost like there's a taboo in a lot of churches. We don't want to know what you're struggling with, and that they sort of ostracize you and make you feel like an outcast. Yeah. So it was at that point that I actually found that I went, when I started going through Celebrate Recovery, that I'm going, whoa. I mean, growing up, everybody struggles with porn. It's not a problem per se, but then even when you're into the Word of God, you kind of skip over that area and things. So it was a real enlightenment, but there's a real taboo in there, and a lot of the many churches, unless they're involved in a 12-step program, they realize there's not one person who doesn't struggle with the sin.
Wow. Okay. Thank you for sharing that comment. And hang on, don't go away. But Lisa or Kathy, either one of you want to respond to what Arnie is saying?
I think Kathy should take this one.
Yeah. Neil, I was thinking about how you were joking, you know, well, we weren't in actual jail and we were better looking sinners. It is a challenge for some of us who have been, trying to live the Christian life, but often under our own power and not understanding the grace and the freedom and what we've been actually forgiven of. It's harder for us sometimes to admit that we are as in great of need of salvation as someone who struggles with more obvious things. And, you know, I really feel like the caller hit the core of shame, which is simply not understanding that we're all in the same boat. There isn't one thing greater than another, and we all are in need of the Lord, of his saving grace, of everything that he does to change our lives around. And so what he hit on was really important, because this is like a real hidden sin, and mine was real hidden. It was pride and anxiety, and it was comparing and jealousy, and those things you can't see, you know, and on my table in terms of how many bottles I'm drinking. You know, you
right.
can't see it in terms of drugs or something really out there. But it is as insidious, it is as destructive, and there is no more shame to what Lisa struggles with than there is from what I struggle with, and vice versa. So that's just what was going through my mind as he was talking.
All right. Yeah. Now, number one, I think that's an incredible answer, because that's exactly what I would have said if I could have said it so eloquently. But let me also say to Arnie, having grown up in a hyper-fundamental Baptist church, and then having experienced quite a bit of grace, but not total grace, pastored a Baptist church for a number of years. I understand the environment you're talking about, and I'm not picking on Baptists, although, you know, because I was one, I can speak with direct knowledge of that. Just the idea that when you grow up around some sense of legalism, everybody wants to try to look like they're doing okay when actually they aren't. But you know what? That's the devil's playground, honestly, because we're setting ourselves up for further failure. And Jesus is, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So what is the truth? The truth is that we struggle, as Kathy said, with all kinds of stuff. And if we don't, if we don't come clean about that initially, there's a lost and dying world that will discover we're lying, and then we're just labeled as hypocrites, and we've lost any ability to tell them of the saving and delivering power of Christ, right, to help set us free from this stuff that we're struggling with. We need to come clean immediately. And secondly, Arnie, real quick, I'm sure you've experienced some of this. On the one hand, there may be some who stand aghast, like, Arnie, I can't believe that you struggle with that kind of stuff, because certainly I never would. And maybe somebody gives you that kind of vibe. But on the other hand, privately, somebody will come to you and say, I can't believe you mentioned that you've struggled with this stuff, because I'm struggling too. And transparency has a way of begetting transparency. So good for you. And I'd just say, stay the course. Lisa, do you want to throw anything into this conversation?
Well, it's just, you know, when you're listening, one of the things is we're afraid that people are going to know that we're sinners. And I mean, we're all sinners, you know, and that's the thing we tell ourselves, you know, shame tells us that we're wrong. You know, guilt is we've done something wrong. Shame tells us that we are wrong. And I'll tell you, again, one of my favorite sayings, we're only as sick as our secrets. See, any time we hold something in, Satan can use that against us. And I mean, Kathy and I were talking about this morning. I mean, what did Satan do to Jesus when he tempted him? He tried to shame him. He tried to shame him. He tried to say, if you're all that, then jump off the building. If you're all that, then turn those rocks into stones. And that shame has been a tool of Satan since, you know, for over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
And so that is something, the only way you fight shame is with transparency and truth. And when you start doing that, I'm telling you, that it's like Satan puts his tail between his legs and starts running away. Now, I'm not saying you don't get attacked, but there is a level of freedom that comes from saying, you know what? Just like Popeye, I is what I is. And and when you can say that, and you know that God loves you anyway, and that's what this step does. It opens up that idea. Wait a minute. Okay, I know I have a drinking problem. I know I had a drug problem. I know I had a sex problem. I knew I had a problem with all those things. That's fine. But I didn't understand that I had a problem with shame. I had a problem with relationships. I had a problem with anger. I couldn't comprehend. I'll give you my addiction, but I'm not giving you all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And so when you do, the floodgates open up. And so I just thank the caller for, you know, I thank you for your honesty and you know, keep on keeping on, brother, because I'm going to tell you, you will help way more people by being open and honest than you will ever be hurt by those who can't handle it.
No doubt. Thank you, Arnie. Appreciate you sharing that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. Let me get to Andy here real quick, and then we're going to have to take a look at our weather forecast and stuff in a moment. But Andy, I don't want to leave you holding. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. You've got a question about step three, Andy. What's up?
I do. And you know, I just want to say really quickly to Arnie, and maybe this, I love what he did, that because this problem is so pervasive in the church, outside the church. There is a program out of the States, because I'm Canadian, called the Conquer Series. And maybe you can look those folks up, and they deal specifically with the porn issue. And I think it's worthwhile having that as a separate subject on your show. But my question for your guest is, how does a caregiver who's a believer help their drug-addicted, you know, their addicted child come into step three? Because, you know, the Lord leads. What is our role as a caregiver? We're believers in fostering, encouraging this, because I can't make my son happens to be drug addicted. He's angry at God because he lost his mother to cancer. What's our role as caregivers?
Yeah, I'm thinking this one's for Kathy. What do you think?
Yeah. You know, the best thing that we can do is obviously pray for them. But the reality is that we cannot bring someone else to that point. So the best thing that we can do is to get help ourselves. And when those that we love who are struggling with addiction, with disappointment, with anger, with anxiety, whatever it is, when they see us having this vibrant relationship with God, and that we're able to hand our cares over to God, and we're able to live this productive and joyful life that seems to work, that's the best thing that we can do to offer them. That's the whole point of 12-step recovery for friends and families of alcoholics or drug addicts, in that it's like we often come into that kind of program thinking, how can I get them to stop drinking? How can I get them to stop drugging? How can I get them to a place of surrender? And we end up staying because it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't do that. I can't fix that. God can. He definitely can. But I've got to work on myself. And so, but just more practically to what you said, I often pray step two for those that I love that are struggling. And that step says, came to believe that a power greater than themselves can restore them to sanity. And, of course, we know that's God. And so I pray that for them, and I just entrust them to God's care. And I've seen this miracle happen in my family with my sons, two of them, come out of drug addiction and alcoholism, and they came to that place of turning their will and their lives over to the care of God. So a lot of success in just focusing on your own heart and trusting God with them.
All right, Lisa, anything you want to add?
Neil, can I add?
Yeah,
Neil, can I add?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wait, Andy, hang on one second. Lisa wanted to say something else, but Lisa wanted to add something. Yeah.
Real quick, so here's the thing. You know, Kathy and I totally am with you in the whole prayer thing, but sometimes you get really worn out. You know, it's like, what am I
sure.
going to pray? And I appreciate so much that you suggested that. One thing you could pray is for God to reveal to your son, what is it that is causing him not to trust God? What is it that's not, you know, what is it in him, okay? And then the other thing is, what's stopping him from surrendering? What creates that apprehension? Pray that God would reveal to him the answers to those questions. Because for me, as a struggling addict, I just didn't believe he would show up. And so those are two really poignant things that you can ask God to reveal to the suffering addict.
Okay, and then Andy, you had something else real quick?
I'm just going to add that my son got to see it work in real life with myself 19 months ago, delivered from alcohol.
Awesome.
Praise God. That's phenomenal. Lord, continue the work that you began in Andy.
Yeah.
May it spill over into his son. May he come to realize that you are what he's looking for. And we know that you're able to do that because you're the all-powerful creator of the universe. So, God, do that for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number two on how to become an actual NBL participant. Tell your friends to listen.
Absolutely. And pick up the phone and join us. 800-684-2848. In the greater Buffalo area, 883-5000. Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray are authors of Light in Our Darkness, and we've got a copy of the book we're going to be giving away to one of you who participates today. Teresa, let me get to your phone call from Buffalo. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. Now, you've been listening, obviously, so you've got a comment, I guess.
Yeah, I've been with Kathy. I caught a tail end of it. I'm an ex-addict. Praise God. Today, I'm healed. I just want to share a little bit of my testimony.
Sure.
For me is, for those that want family members or people they know to get off of drugs, they have to pray for them to be tired of it. I did drugs for 13 years, off and on. And I've been sober since 2006. But in the meantime, in the beginning, I was not ready to get off of drugs. But in the end, I was, because I was doing it constantly, day and night. And like the sixth year, about the seventh year, I got tired. And so what I did was it came to me to ask God to make me tired of it. And when I, in a few weeks or so, a few days or so, not even weeks, I began to get tired. So the atmosphere that I was around, I started leaving, even if it meant, because I was homeless, even if it meant I had to sleep outside.
Hmm.
I did those things. I asked strangers to let me stay in their home to get away from drugs. That's how tired I went on. I went on church steps and slept there by alone. Jesus was with me, but I didn't know it. And then when I would go, just before that, when I would go to the meetings, they would, like, enhance it. You know, the meetings, like, they would really enhance it. And then you find a lot of people going in there. They come out, and the first thing they do is go get high. But the thing was, what changed my life is when I found a Christian group of ex-users, and I started listening to their testimonies. And as I listened to their testimonies, God opened up my heart, and I received him. And I've been clean ever since 2006.
Praise God.
I don't give that. I'm not praising that. But what I'm praising God is that He Himself, He delivered me because He made me tired.
Wow. Amen. So hang on a second. Lisa, were you able to hear that call?
I was.
Okay, good. I just didn't know if I had the right button pushed. I'm glad you heard it. Kathy, you may have something else to say too, but Lisa, how do you want to respond to what Teresa's saying? Wow.
Well, first I'd like to say, Teresa, I totally can relate. That was my story. I was a homeless drug addict for many years. And what you're sharing is a perfect example of the step. You said you asked God. You asked
yes.
God.
Yes.
You surrendered your will. You made a decision that
yes.
you wanted him to intervene in your life. And so that's the beauty of this. And that's the beauty of this whole 12-step concept is that
yes.
it's not anything different. It's the approach is just a little bit different. And
okay.
so I so am with you 100%. It is when we are willing, you know, my prayer is always for people is, you know, let it quit working. I mean,
yeah.
you know,
okay.
when you have to keep the more drinking and it takes more to escape and it takes more to feel high, it quits working. And when it quits working, you start looking for other options. And
yes.
So I totally am with you. And I so appreciate you calling and sharing that. But you're a perfect example of step three, that you made a decision to turn your will and your life over to the care of God.
Huge.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't easy. Because what I would do, I would like, and you need God, because I had started convincing myself that, oh, I'm not going to get high today. And I go, I could get a little bit of money, and I try for like 2 minutes, and the next thing I know, I mean, I have literally made up my mind that I was not going to get high. And the next
right.
thing I knew, I had a pipe in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know how I got there to get the pipe. I just knew that I had a pipe in my mouth, and I was burning
wow.
it. Yeah.
Wow. Kathy, anything you want to add to this?
Yes, I love what she is suggesting, that you pray that that the one that you love is you gets tired of what they're doing. I
right.
remember when one of our sons showed up at our house and he was high on something. We didn't know what he just could barely stand up, so we rushed him to the hospital downtown. And they, you know, got his system clear. And when he started, you know, coming to, I went back and I stood by the bed. And he looked at me and I looked at him and I said, well, honey, are you tired of it yet? And he very honestly said, I just thought I'd have more time to party, basically. And now he was young. He was only 18. And so he said, Mom, I thought I'd have more time. And I said, okay, you know, well, you know where to go when you're ready. And that was my prayer, that he would just come to the end of himself, that he would be so sick and tired of being sick and tired. And he did. That was about a month later that he got into recovery. Yeah, praise God.
Well, and can I just overarching comment make the statement that what's amazing about what Teresa's saying is how simple it is, but we sometimes dismiss the stuff like that. We just hope they'll come to the end of themselves. We don't really think God's capable or cares about answering a prayer like that. And I don't know why we dismiss it, but God is all powerful. He can give an alcoholic distaste for alcohol. He can make somebody detest cigarette smoke when they've been smoking for 20 years because he's God. And yet, you know, we fail to ask him. But Teresa, you called out to him, and you watched him intervene in your behalf. So for our previous caller who was discussing that whole issue, did some great advice. All right. We'll take a break here and be right back. I want to make sure we have enough time to get to Lynn and the rest of the calls. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Teresa, praise God, we are rejoicing with you. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. There's more of NBL coming up in just a moment.
Want to be more than just a listener? Here's suggestion number 9 on how to become an actual NBL participant. Start your weekends with Neil and the Zach Man on Fun Friday. Or Thursday if you wish, because Thursday is the new Friday. Or Friday is the new, never mind.
Oh, yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. Well, all we know is that the weekend starts right here, ladies and gentlemen. Going to be a crazy week, though, and if you have to be out driving Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, please drive carefully. Otherwise, just forget about it and don't head out until Friday. It's going to be a nutty week with some blizzard-like conditions here in western New York. By the way, real quick, Kathy and Lisa, how do you guys feel about minus 30 to 40 wind chill temps? Because that's what it's going to be this week.
Look, yeah. I was just texting Kathy, and I just said, oh, no, they can keep that weather. That's
yeah, thanks a lot. We'll enjoy it for you. No worries. All right. Well, let's get back to it here. I want to get to Lynn in Williamsville. We're talking about step 3 in our 12-step conversation that we've been doing over the last few weeks, and it's going to continue till we get to step 12 and beyond. Lynn, your comments or question? Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you. Yes, this is great. This is great. I also was a drug-addicted homeless alcoholic who got delivered 18 years ago, and I've taken the 12 steps, and, you know, and I knew of God when I was out there in the street, but I was afraid of him. And because of the 12 steps, I came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know. So it was because of those steps that now I have this conscious contact with God. And, it's absolutely awesome. And step 3, I mean, it's taken me years to really, you know, understand more and more. And that's what part of the journey is, right? But, you know, lining my will up to what God's is. You know, but early in recovery, okay, Lord, what is it your will for me? And it's simple, you know, that first 6 months, first year was simple as to continue on with the fourth step, go to the fourth step, you know, and as I continued to journey with God through the steps, he revealed more and more of himself to me that I could learn to trust in him. So for me, it's as simple as it was in the early recovery. And now, you know, it's not for me to so much give him my will, but to line my will up with his. Lord, what it is. Maybe it's just me. Then I want to give up all control. So, I mean, kind of reframing it to Lord, what is it your will? And I'm willing to do that. You know, because didn't he give us free will? You know, so does he really necessarily want my entire will? I mean, he gave me free will, but so I just try to line that up with his. And, you know, I got to say that this is really great. I'm kind of not struggling, but I'm a mom. You know, my son right now is a heroin addict. He ran into two trees in the past month with his truck. Mm. But God rebukes the devourer of the enemy. So I thank God that, you know, he didn't come out of it injured. And but right now he's struggling, and there's a bed available for him tomorrow.
Right.
And he's sick. He's, you know, he's a heroin addict. And, you know, and I thought about giving him the money. And for me, I was just like, I can't do it. You know, this is his journey. Mm-hmm. This is his journey. And
you know, and as a recovered addict and as a mom and as a social worker, you know, and it's like, Lord, where is my part? What do I do? Do I help? Do I don't help? You know, and I trust in whatever God's process is. But sometimes, man, it's just difficult, and I just pray, you know, Lord, and it's those audacious prayers, right? Let my son or our loved one come to the end of themselves that they can only cry out for you.
Amen. You know? Listen, Lynn, we want to pray for your son, and we're going to do that in just a second. But she said something really powerful that didn't occur to me before. Lisa and Kathy, you may have heard this kind of thing before, but when she was saying, you know, to ask God, what is your will? Because we didn't really ask that question. In her case, it was just be willing to go to step four. Like, don't give up yet is really what I'm hearing. For someone else, it might be entirely different. But we were kind of looking, at least my view of this was the overarching question. Lord, oh, sure, I'll surrender my will to yours. But that could take on a real specific, you know, context, like depending on what the question happens to be at that moment. Like,
well, you know what, too? I didn't really understand who God was. I didn't know who he was. And you know what? The God of the universe, I was a street corner girl. So this awesome God of the universe, why would he want anything to do with someone like me? Not
Lisa.
Knowing that. He wants everything to do with people like us. So what he did in early recovery for me and through those years was he put people in my life. I was in a halfway house. And there was a woman there that God just drew me to her. And I was drawn to her that I know today was because of the Spirit of the Lord within her, that I trusted in her. You know, and she guided me and she led me closer to walk with the Lord, you know. So I didn't really trusting into him at the beginning.
All right, well, Lynn, then you need to meet Lisa. Lisa, this is Lynn. Lynn, this is Lisa, because your stories are kind of similar, all right? And then, obviously, Kathy, we're all going to be praying for you. But, Lisa, do you want to respond, and then we'll pray for her son? And did you want to give him a name? Just say a name, and we'll pray for your son.
Oh, his name is James.
James, okay. We're going to pray for James in a minute. But, Lisa, your thoughts here?
Well, you know, that's the thing. How do we align our will with God's will? I mean, for someone, I'm like you. You know, I was standing on the street corner. What do you mean, God's will? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was the opposite of what I was thinking, but I didn't know. And you hit the nail on the head. Is that, you know, the first thing is we go to meetings. We surround ourselves with people. Then you get a sponsor. It's much like discipleship. We were never meant to walk this journey alone.
Amen.
Ever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what a sponsor does is that they help you understand how to intentionally release your hopes, your dreams, your choices, your addiction, your relationships, and give it to God. And you know, you have to develop in your own circumstances, you have to develop the quality of willingness. So what happens is you've got this sponsor that you're talking to, that you're sharing all of these things with, someone who's walked through this program, who is listening to the heart of God, who has surrendered their will on a daily basis. And they are helping you with everything in your life. They're speaking into your life on how to pray. What would this look like if God got a hold of it? How would you feel releasing this? And so I remember once I was crying about something to my sponsor, because I did that a lot. And I was told, you know, first you have to admit how much you like what you're doing before you can let it go. And I was so indignant about that. I was like, what do you mean? I don't like this. And it was the honest to gosh truth. I liked that I had control over certain things, although it was causing me great pain. So, you know, you made such a great point about the fact that it is surrender, but it's also alignment, because people like us don't like to surrender too much. We want to be in control of everything. So, yeah, great points. And thank you so much for calling in and sharing, and congratulations on your sobriety. And you know as well as I do that God is no respecter of persons, and what he did for you, he's going to do for James.
Yeah. And Kathy, if you don't mind, would you pray for James? Since
I would love to pray for James. Father, I just thank you for Lynn. I'm so grateful for this woman that you drew out of darkness and brought into light, that you have sustained her, that you brought her into such a close and intimate relationship with you. And, Father, you have heard the cry of her mother's heart for her son, James. And we believe that James has a powerful destiny to take over the kingdom of darkness with the kingdom of light from within him. And so, Father, I am asking in your name, in Jesus' name, that you would protect James, protect his life,
yes, God,
until he is willing to turn his life over to your care. Father, we pray that you would go after him and that you will pull him out of this deathly practice with heroin that he's in right now. Father, we just pray that you would chase him down. We know that you're doing that with, you did it with each one of us,
yep,
on this program, on this the four of us that are on right now. And I just pray that you would go and grab him out of the clutches of death and you bring him into life and set his feet on a rock, on a solid place.
Yes,
we are believing together and agreeing together, mm-hmm, for James's salvation,
yes,
from
God,
this destructive way of life. We love you. We praise you. You are the rescuer. There is nothing beyond your reach. And so we just bless James. James, we bless him with all of the plans and purposes that you have for him.
Yes,
we speak them over him now, and we bless your name, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Lynn. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You also. Thank you, ladies.
All right. I want to get quickly to Sue in Toronto, so let's go north of the border. Sue, how are you? You're on with Kathy Gray and Lisa Kratz-Thomas.
I'm great. Thank you so much, Neil. Hello, ladies. God bless
Hi.
You for this wonderful ministry. Wow, that's great.
Well, you had a, is it a comment, I guess? You're familiar with 12-step ministry?
I attended Overeaters Anonymous for almost 18 years, and I'm now in Celebrate Recovery. And what my experience was that I certainly thank God for Overeaters Anonymous. I was able to put the food down for all those years that I couldn't put it down for 8 minutes, let alone just an absolutely amazing miracle. But then the Lord was knocking on the door of my heart, and he said, I would like you to go to Celebrate Recovery. Very strange. I thought, isn't that strange? But I see now that I'm there that this is where I'm meant to be. So I'm very grateful for that.
Well, let me ask, praise God for that. Sue, let me ask you real quick what your thoughts are about step three, this idea of turning our will over to God as we understand him. There had to be some kind of struggle there going on for you, obviously. So talk about step three real quick.
Yeah, it was a huge struggle because my will, I was Suzanne going in every direction, Sue for short, going in every direction and my will above anyone else's. And I didn't want to turn myself over to anything. I was an agnostic. Just, I got the impression that I had to turn my will over to God yet again in leaving OA, which I never thought I would ever do. I thought I would die. But in fact, it has proven not to be the case.
You know, praise God. I was thinking, ladies, you might want to respond to what Sue's saying here, but I was thinking as she was talking, and I was also thinking about this earlier today, that the last part of step three, you know, turn our will and our lives over to God as we understand him or understood him, that we had to come to that place, that somebody literally would be uncomfortable going, well, wait a minute, as you understand him, what are we talking about here? You know, spirit gods floating in the air or trees and stars and bumblebees. What exactly is God? But you know what? By having to consider who God might be, he gets a chance to reveal himself.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she started out as an agnostic. Today, let me just ask real quick. Today, you're a believer, Sue. You know and love Jesus.
I most certainly am.
Okay.
Yes.
So how
the
interesting.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
The Lord of my life. Yes.
So Lisa or Kathy, either one, have you seen that progression in the lives of others who come broken, nowhere to turn, they know they need help, they cry out, and along the way somewhere, find out who God really is through his son, Jesus. Have you seen that?
You know, absolutely. Lisa, I'm going to jump in real quick. I just got a phone call today from someone that I started sponsoring in my 12-step recovery program, and she did not know the Lord Jesus, but she was searching and she was asking for God to reveal himself. She went to get some prayer at my suggestion. She still didn't know the Lord, and the man that was praying for her said, I know you believe in God, but we really want you to know Jesus. And she says, oh, I met him on Wednesday. And he started laughing. He goes, what? She said, yeah, my prayer was that God would reveal the truth to me. And I read in my Bible that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So, yeah, I already met him on Wednesday. She called me today to tell me it's been 10 years since she gave her life to Christ.
Wow.
And we baptized her in our spa on a snowy day in Texas in February. I'm just so grateful because it took coming into the rooms of 12-step recovery for her to meet Jesus. It is a vehicle, just like Sue is talking about. It's not the end-all, but it is a vehicle that God uses.
Praise God. Lisa?
Well, this is my story. I mean, I believed that there was a God, but I didn't believe he had any power. And I, too, was like Sue, I felt as though God didn't like me. And so why would I want his will in my life? But see, what 12-step does, God's so sneaky. He brings you in and he lures you in because a basic human need is not to be alone. It's to be loved. It's to be cherished. It's to be around people that are familiar. That's what the meetings are. See, that's the beauty of these meetings. You can go to a meeting anywhere. I mean, I've been to meetings on cruise ships. I've been to meetings in Bermuda. I've been to meetings everywhere I travel. And you can go and you can sit in that room. And even if you don't know God, you feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not know it's the Holy Spirit. You may think it's just, they say God at first, good, orderly direction. Good, orderly direction. And for those of us that had no direction, sitting in a place where you felt safe and you felt like you could make the next right move, God starts to infiltrate your heart. That's why I always say, don't get mad at me if I don't walk in with my Bible. Because some people, they can't deal with that. They've been hurt by that. They don't understand that. But God will reveal himself. He will, through love, he will reveal himself. And just like Sue, I got saved in the rooms of 12-step. I was given a set of tapes, grace, grace, and more grace. And I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, and I never looked back. And that was almost 28 years ago.
Praise God. That is so huge. Sue, thank you for the call, and thank you both for your responses, obviously. We got to take a break. We're going to come back, get to some more phone calls here. But note to self, Lisa, note to self, Kathy has a spa, all right? So, during these Arctic wind chills this week, we're going to keep that in mind. We may be down for a visit. Mary and I would love to come to Texas, Kathy.
Come on down. Y'all come on down.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. It's 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All of a sudden, everything that is
within me blesses your name. Hey guys, looking for an unforgettable Valentine's experience with your wife, fiance, or girlfriend? Surprise her with tickets to see North America's funniest clean comics as the Date Night Tour comes to Western New York and Southern Ontario. Get tickets and information at WDCXradio.com or funandfaith.ca.
We're actually going to give away a few Date Night Comedy Tour tickets next hour here on MBL, so stick around for your chance to win. Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray are guests. For more on their ministry, you can go to lisakratzthomas.com. Kratz is spelled K-R-A-T-Z. They're authors of A Light in Our Darkness, Light in Our Darkness, and I think that's also the name of your Facebook page. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Light in Our Darkness. All right, so you can learn more about them there. But two wonderful sisters whose lives have been tremendously impacted through 12-step ministry and for a variety of different reasons, which, as you listen, will emerge during our conversation. But I want to get back to the phones, and I know Lisa from Hamburg was next. Lisa, good to have you with us. On NBL, you had a comment about step three. What's up?
Yes. Are you there?
Yep. Thanks for calling. Yeah, what's up?
I just want to say that I am been in recovery for 28 years,
Amen.
And step three was the turning point in my sobriety when I surrendered my life to Christ a year after I got sober, March 10th of 1991. And I believe when that happened for me and I surrendered to Christ, I've never been the same again, because the Bible says he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was completely set free from drugs and alcohol, and I never looked back. And every day when I surrender my life and I do the Lord's work, I am just so happy and grateful that, you know, he gave me the gift of sobriety, and I started out in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm still in Alcoholics Anonymous. But we also have a ministry at Watermark Wesleyan Church that meets on Monday nights at 7 o'clock, 12 Steps for Drug Addicts and Christians, called Addictions Victorious. So we've been doing that for the last 18 years, and it's just such an honor to see people get set free and keep serving Jesus to set the captives free.
All right, let me ask a question maybe Lisa or Kathy could respond to based on what Lisa said. And by the way, we're rejoicing with you. Your anniversary's coming up here in the next 6 weeks or so. But she mentioned she's been in recovery for 28 years, then quoted the verse, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And what you've really testified about this entire time is your freedom. So somebody might be confused about that, because sometimes I've heard people say, like, well, one of my problems with these programs is that you're just like in perpetual recovery. Either you're healed or you're not. So how do you respond to something like that? Because she's obviously still involved in the process of remembering who her deliverer is on a consistent basis by attending 12-step programs, but she's also walking in total freedom. So what would you say about that?
Well, I would say even Paul had a thorn in his side. I mean, you know, we need a reminder of how powerful God is in our lives. And people who have strong addictions are people who continuously need to be reminded that they're not in charge. And you know, I can tell you, I mean, and congratulations, by the way, Lisa. Gosh, we have a lot in common. Our name and the same year we celebrate 28 years. Yeah. It's so awesome. But I love your spirit, too, by the way. But so the thing is this. It's you know, people who have strong personalities or a strong will, and most people who are addicts or who live that kind of lifestyle have a very strong will. And, you know, yes, of course God heals us, but, you know, it's like taking a bath. I mean, what do I say, that I take a bath once and I never take it again? I read my Bible and I know the psalm. I don't need to read it again. For me, it is a constant reminder of the goodness, the grace, the love, the support of God. And it also is my opportunity to give back to others what was so freely given to me. So I just want to thank you so much for what you're doing for addicts and loving them, and your life is the fruit of what you're doing. So congratulations to you, Lisa.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Kathy, anything else real quick?
Just along with what Lisa said, that repetition strengthens and confirms. We don't just, you know, eat a meal once. We need to eat meals frequently in order to keep our strength up. She hit the nail on the head.
All right. Lisa, again, thanks for that phone call. So I guess Sue is next. Whoops. Nope, not Sue. It's going to be Doug in Burlington, Ontario. How you doing, Doug?
I'm well. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And if you're trying to reach us, now's the time to call, because we've got an available line for you right there, 800-684-2848. 883-5000. All right, we're talking about step three today. You had a comment, Doug.
Yes. Early on in sobriety, I was walking through the steps, and in particular, step three, and I noticed that the person that had the steps in front of me had crossed out the word will and put thoughts, and they crossed out life. They crossed out actions and put out life. And I found that very interesting, and I asked them to explain it, and they told me that somebody told them to do that. And it just kind of stuck with me. And going through sobriety, I mean, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous as a born-again baptized Christian, so I didn't necessarily have a problem with God, and I thought that I was walking with God. But the program itself, and in particular Step 3, really helped me to strengthen my walk with God into something that's very special today. And in particular, when you take the word will and you look at it, mm-hmm. it really is a collection of my thoughts. That's all it is, because each and every day I have so many thoughts in my mind, and I choose to act on certain thoughts and not act on others. And so when I as simply as turn those thoughts over to what would God have me do right here and right now, mm-hmm. it really simplifies everything for me, and it can be done on a moment-by-moment basis. And when you think about it, all of those thoughts and those decisions that I make on those thoughts, when you take the culmination of that, that becomes my actions or my life. And so Step 3 for me took on a very different meaning, in the sense that all I really had to do was worry about what does God think about what I'm doing right here and right now, and start making that a way of life for myself. And because of that, the rest of the steps opened up for them, and a life that is so much more wonderful than I ever could have imagined became possible. And it's just, you know, it's just so awesome that God can take somebody who was really at the gates of hell. I was dying. And bring you to a place where he shows you that there's so much more in life that I couldn't have even imagined for myself.
Okay. And wow. A fascinating, unbelievable story that we're rejoicing with. Some amazing testimonies today. Ladies, who wants to take it from here?
Kathy, I want to take it.
Go for it.
Yeah. I'm sitting here just cheering from Doug's testimony, because he is exactly talking about what 12 Step did for me. I would read the Word of God and I'd be like, how do I turn my will over to God? You know, what does it mean to trust him with all my heart? That kind of thing. And in fact, Doug, as I was just preparing for the show, I was like, what was it? You know, the will and the life, it's the thoughts. And he said, it's the thoughts and the actions. That's what I needed. I needed someone to really simplify it and put it in terms that I wasn't familiar with in order for me to have a fresh revelation on it. And I just love his testimony, because that's what I came into 12 Step looking for, and it's certainly what I received, was practical ways to turn my will over to God.
Yeah. Wow, Doug, we are cheering for you, bro. That's unbelievable. Yeah. Thank you for your phone call, and we're going to take a break here and continue our conversation in a moment with Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray. They're co-authors of Light in Our Darkness, which I'll let them explain about when we return. It's a book that we highly recommend you get your hands on, but you can learn more about these ladies by going to Light in Our Darkness on Facebook, or go to lisakratzthomas.com, Kratz spelled K-R-A-T-Z, lisakratzthomas.com. There's more of NBL in just a moment. We've been working through the 12 steps at the start of January here, and we're going to keep going until we get to step 12, and who knows, maybe beyond with a wrap-up week or something. But fabulous conversation, and thank you for being a part of it. 800-684-2848. Or
883-5000. Sometimes feel unloved? The truth is, there's never been a moment that you were not loved by God.
All right, so we're down to our final few minutes here, and I don't know how to summarize all that we've heard today. So many exciting phone calls. And by the way, Arnie from Barrie, I believe it was the first caller, Arnie from Barrie is going to be the recipient of Light in Our Darkness from Kathy Gray and Lisa Kratz-Thomas. But I want to give you guys an opportunity to share your own thoughts, maybe summarize some of what we discussed regarding Step 3, and encourage our listeners to be a part of this thing again next week as we delve into Step 4. But I'm not sure who we begin with today. Let's go with Lisa. How about that? Lisa?
Sure. So, you know, and Step 3 was really the beginning of my relationship with God. And you know, for anybody who feels that God isn't in the 12-step literature, or they have difficulty with that, I'd like to just share a prayer that comes out of the literature of the 12-step organization that I'm involved in. And this really helped me. It's Step 3 prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as you will. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may do your will. Take away my difficulties,
that power or that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of your power, your love, and your way of life. May I always do your will.
Wow.
And that prayer is a prayer that I prayed daily for years to remind me that I had to surrender my will to God's. And I would just encourage people to call back next week, share your experience, strength, and hope. We're commanded to do that by the Word of God and in recovery. And let people know that God, Jesus, is the only way. I mean, you can try every other way. You can try it, and you can name it whatever you want to. But here's the deal. The only person that rescues you in the cold, dark night of your soul is the Lord. His light comes in. It gives you a sense of belonging. It gives you a sense of peace that you have been looking for in whatever it is that you've gone to your entire life. And I can just tell you, if I had known this earlier, maybe I would have traveled down this road sooner, because there is no joy. I've never been as high as when I'm able to help someone else understand how much that Jesus loves them. And it will rock your world.
Amen. You know, Kathy, I just wish for once Lisa would quit beating around the bush and just speak her mind. You know what I mean?
She has trouble getting to the point.
She really
but
does.
I'm trying to help her with it.
All right. So, Kathy, how would you summarize this?
You know, there's two things on my mind. One is that when I came in, I had tried so many times to reach God and to do God's will. And like the other steps, until I was quite a ways into working the steps, step three was just another, well, I mean, I guess I'll give this a try.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why it would work when other things haven't, when I've been trying to reach, you know, reach God, walk in his will. And I'm telling you, it, like so many other things that I've seen in 12-step in my life, it absolutely is a life changer. So, and just one other thing on step three, there's a little word in the step, just made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. You know, we're not saying we're going to be robots. We need the care of our God. We're like sheep. We're children. Jesus says, how I long to gather you in my arms, but you would not. Step three is when we say, we will let you, and we enter the care of our good shepherd.
Praise God. That is so good.
Yeah.
So next week is step four, Lisa. Step four is what?
Step four is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And for those listening, step four is always a sticking point. People get real scared. They either want to do it too early or they don't want to do it at all. So don't miss it. You've got to listen.
All right. Next week's going to be huge. Again, 2 o'clock next week, Lisa Kratz-Thomas and Kathy Gray will be back. And we'll be talking about step number four, make a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. And find out exactly what that means in the recovery process. So, again, if you've been through some kind of a 12-step program, absolutely want to hear from you. And bottom line is, if you're just struggling with something you have been unable to overcome, all of these principles, all the stuff based here in God's Word, ultimately points us to Jesus, who is the one who can set us free. And so we want you to be a part of this with us as we continue the journey. LisaKratz-Thomas.com or Light in Our Darkness on Facebook, where you can get more details about these two ladies. And thank you so much, both of you, for hanging out. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks, yep, Neil.
God bless.